We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready. On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Welcome back to the show, Sports Daily with Shane and Bruce here on Sports Radio KFH. Chad Chambers running the show as usual. And as usual, on a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, we talk to the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel. Chiefs reeling a little bit. First time we've really had to say that in a long time. They've lost two in a row, lost 31-24 to the Texans on Saturday at Arrowhead, and on a short week going to Denver to take on the Broncos on Thursday. Welcome back to the show, Dan. How you been?
I'm good, man. You know, as good as you can be for two losses in a row, right?
Of course, of course. Before we get to talking about the Chiefs, Bruce and I have been talking about the officiating. Last night at Monday Night Football was not a good look for the officiating. There was a call against Travis Kelce, or a no call, in your guys' game where Mahomes ended up throwing an interception. It wasn't overturned. Do you have an overarching theme of what the problem is with the officiating this year, and or do you have any ideas of how this gets fixed? Because it seems like they're a story every week.
Shane, it's funny you mentioned this because we've been talking about this for the last hour in my office. I received the official, well, an unofficial notice from the league on our game. But the problem with it is simply it's bad. I don't know how it's gotten worse, but it's bad right now. And it's almost as if we were joking about it. It's almost as if, you know, they got paid just like a player. When he gets paid, suddenly the performance falls. Yeah. And for whatever reason, the officiating just has reached an all-time ponderous level. And look, maybe some of it's the high-def cameras. I don't know. I just can't explain it. I'll go over a couple of things with you that really bother me. Officially, last night's game was a good example, though, where you just had questionable call after questionable call, and it's gotten to a point where it's making it difficult to watch these games. Not to mention, as a fan, if you're penalized by it or not penalized by it, how frustrating that can be. It Saturday night, and look, maybe this says more about me and how I spend my Saturday nights than it should, but I spent Saturday night looking up the 26 different calls on the challenge to pass interference. This was a compendium of defensive pass interference that was called, offensive pass interference that was called and challenged, and then also offensive pass interference that was challenged where it wasn't called, and same with DPI. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I learned out of this is they are essentially using a different standard to call, to rule on the challenge than the actual call on the field. It might be enough to get called for defensive pass interference if you're a defensive back and you don't turn your head. But if that gets challenged, they would not use the same standard to overturn that challenge. And that's really troublesome because, wow, to me, you're changing it. You know, when you arrive at you go to court for something legally, but when you get in court, it's a different law than what it is when you – it doesn't make sense to me. The second part of this is, that, and much like the catch rule, the more they define this, the more they basically muddy the water. So what you're telling me from our game is that if you knock a receiver off down, don't just interfere with his route, but you knock him down and stop his route, that can't become pass interference because he's no longer the intended receiver. I fully, truly believe Patrick Mahomes was throwing that ball to Travis Kelce, and when he saw him get knocked to the ground, he threw it all the way to the end zone because it's a spot foul.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. I mean, this kid is that field aware. So
knew he was going to get a flag, so might as well fling it to the end zone because he was going to.
And so I really feel like this is a situation where they've created this loophole in the rules saying, look, if you're going to interfere with a receiver, you knock him all the way to the ground. You stop him in his tracks, and now it can't be pass interference. It could be defensive holding, you know, maybe.
Illegal
but
contact.
That's only a 10-yard penalty.
Hmm.
So,
all right.
They've muddied it. It's bad. And to your point, I don't see it getting much much better.
No, I don't either. And we live in a day and age of high resolution, cameras all over the place. The stated goal is to get it right. Still, there are things that can't be reviewed because of particular times and situations of the game. And so how much closer are we getting it to getting it right? I don't think we're any closer than when we started. And I think that that's becoming a major distraction. Because I would agree with you, watching these games, there's not one game that you watch, Dan, that you're not affected by it. Every single game you watch, you end up shaking your head and saying, what in the hell are they seeing? What are they looking at?
Yeah, it's true, Bruce. I sent my – I think all the people I was texting on Saturday night, my crew, were going crazy because I just kept getting more and more wound up. I kept sending them pictures where you had – defensive backs just all over a guy, and yet the league said, well, he didn't substantially interfere with his ability to catch the football. No, his arm is holding down the arms of the receiver, and his helmet is in the eyes of him. How can that not be ruled? You know, and here's the other thing. You know, I think when you have – take replay out of this, there is – okay, these guys are human. They're going to make mistakes. But you say, okay, we're going to put replay into this to get it right, as you just stated, and then you don't get it right, that's even more frustrating than if they just made a human mistake. So I really don't know what the solution is, but, you know, the league sent me the notice this morning, or, again, it's unofficial. He asked not to be quoted, but essentially it said that replay wasn't involved in our game. So they didn't go to New York. Nobody at New York made that decision. Now, it's interesting in that they have a shot of the replay or the on-field official holding his hand up to his ear so he can hear in his earpiece. So I'm not sure who he was talking to, whether that was the booth or I'm not really sure. But I don't know. I just don't know where you go from here. It's interesting in that this is the year where they said, well, we're just going to go back. Forget everything we've said for the past 7 years about the catch. All you have to do is catch the football and make a football move again, and we're back to that. Right? Yeah. Let's just go back to 2011, and maybe the same thing will happen with this. Now you have, though, you know, Bill Belichick's been saying, hey, we ought to be able to review every play. Well, that the hands to the face, you had two hands to the face yesterday that would have been reviewed. And if they're going to use a different standard to overturn these on challenge, that we're doubling the rule book. We're literally doubling the size of the rule book because we're going to say, okay, here's the rule, and then here's how, if they challenge the rule, how you judge it. I don't know. It's a mess.
Yeah. All right, on the field stuff, Chiefs lost to the Texans 31-24. What would you point to as the major reason why the Chiefs lost? Run defense, injuries, Patrick Mahomes coming back down to earth a little bit, combination thereof, or other? What do you got?
Well, certainly the running game on both sides of the ball, and start with the defense, the run defense. You know, look, the injuries are playing a factor in this. There's no question about that. The defense was stronger in the front part of the year when everyone was healthy. And when you're talking about missing the entire middle of your defense, as we are with Williams out and with Chris Jones out, with Hitchens out, you're going to give up more yards to the run. I mean, I think the last time that the Chiefs had a good run-stop defense was a very, very young Derek Johnson. And it takes a linebacker, it takes a defensive line to make sure that person trying to draw the shortest distance between two points isn't coming through you. And right now with the injury, there's no doubt it's playing an issue. However, that's not all there is to run defense. And, you know, when you look at, I thought the game started, Frank Clark was going to come out of his shoes. He was, you know, electric from the moment the first snap. And I thought, there we go. Now we're seeing Frank Clark. That's what we want to see. I find it interesting, though, at the end of that game, you know, he was one-on-one with Deshaun Watson, who was 3 yards from the end zone. He was posted up straight on him. Should have been able to hold him out of the end zone and was not able to. I'm not sure why. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. Mm. To me, that's a running-type situation. Should other people have been there helping him? You bet. No doubt. But for a guy with as much bravado as Frank Clark, it was surprising to me at the end. And look, let's give Clark a little latitude in that the defense had played an awful lot in that fourth quarter.
Yeah,
there's
they were
no
on the
question.
Field the whole half.
Yeah. That is definitely an issue. So run defense probably, I would say, is number one, because teams have discovered now that, you know what, you don't have to play mano a mano. You don't have to get points as quick as you can. You can just take all day and get your points. It may take you all day to get from one end of the field to the other, but that's okay because Mahomes isn't out there. Mm-hmm. And so I'd probably put that as one. I think a close second to that, though, is our ability to run the football.
Yeah,
they've
no question.
They've got to figure that part of it out. I felt like the screen game in the first part of in the first half of that game, I felt like the Chiefs were running a good screen game. They had seemed like they were kind of, you know, making their way. I guess to some degree, do you guys, maybe you disagree, but I feel like we need to be content with dinking and dunking the ball down the field when necessary. Like,
sure.
I don't want to go back to those days, but at some point you take 3-4 yards, that's good.
I love the fact that the irony of having a Patrick Mahomes, that the largest question and complaint is not being able to run the ball over the last 2 weeks. And really, it's not a question of not being able to run the ball. It's even trying to run the ball. Patrick Mahomes can't be Patrick Mahomes unless you're running the football a little bit more convincingly, or dinking and dunking. I mean, you can do it in the passing game too. There are lots of ways to do it. But Eric Bieniemy's statements the other day, or comments yesterday, was, I feel like I've sold out a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, because we haven't run the football very much over the last 2 weeks. It's a very real issue, isn't it?
It is, and I feel like, you know, I'd like to see my chances. Look, you know, do a long handoff, hit the back in the flat with a little short pass. I'd like to see the chances of LeSean McCoy one on one out there with somebody, mm-hmm. instead of having to go through, a densely packed line. I'd like to see that.
And a patchwork, you know, offensive line too, right? I mean, that plays into
right.
it.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think it has definitely been a different game without Eric Fisher in there.
Yep.
So, I think getting him back will be paramount. I think the return of Tyreek Hill was significant. But I feel like, you know, the one thing we're overlooking with the run game is, yes, we can strike long and fast, and if, you know, Mahomes gets those opportunities and he can score, well, that's great, but man, we got to get the defense some rest.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't leave them.
Yeah.
You can't just go bang, 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 and then give it back to the defense and expect those guys to last all day. You're limited to 53 players here. Well, you're really limited by the time you take the 7 inactives out of it. You don't even have that many. So the 46 guys that are out there, you know, we're wearing them thin, and I feel like you're only going to have probably 20. I think we have 22 or 3 defensive players, so a lot of those guys are special teamers. Now you're going to get some of them in there because of injury, and from our standpoint, that's always good. That can always benefit down the road. That can always become a good thing in December and January to have guys that have some. You saw it last year when Russell Okung broke his arm or whatever he did in the Super Bowl. He went out. Honestly, guys, they were talking about the Patriots, how important a role he played. His backup slid into that. Nobody even noticed. It was as if Russell Okung hadn't even played. So I do think those kinds of things are important, but, you know, you just have to figure out a way to get some of these guys back and to get the others to step up. I mentioned the coach the other night on Sunday. next man up works, but now we're talking next men up. There's so many guys out that there's just definitely going to be holes there that you can't patch. There's no team has a limitless depth.
Yeah. Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network. They take on the Broncos on Thursday. And any other sport, Dan, if you're on a slide a little bit, it's like, let me back out there. Let's get back out there as quick as we can. Football is probably not quite like that. So not exactly great timing if you're a Chief to go on a short week on the road. Do you think the game plan changes any differently because of the short week and having to go to Denver? And what do you expect?
Well, and that short week on the road is huge. When you talk about a typical seven-day preparation now is cut to 2.5 days. The Broncos have 3.5 days. I mean, that's almost, 30% more. So it's significant. To have to travel on a short week is significant. Does the game plan change? I'm sure it changes somewhat. The nice thing about this game is we're playing an opponent we know very well. You've been there. You've seen a lot of this. You know what you're going to get out of Von Miller. You don't really have to study Von Miller. You have to, you know, there are other things about there. They're certainly new coach. It's a different team, so you need to kind of adapt. But you know a lot of the player tendencies and things like that. That all helps. But I think absolutely the worst part about this is the one thing we need right now is healing. And that takes time, and that's something you don't get this week. So guys that were out Sunday, probably not going to be any better by Thursday. Maybe holding Sammy Watkins out on Sunday gives him a few extra days to recover. Maybe he'll be ready to go on Thursday. And I do think it was a good thing they got out of that game on Sunday. You know, they kept Tyreek Hill to kind of a pitch count, and he got out of there healthy, so that's good. So you'll definitely have Tyreek Hill there. But guys like Mahomes, who's battling a sore ankle, not something that necessarily keeps him from playing, but something that a few extra days would really help, especially soreness.
Denver will run the ball and then run it some more and then come at you again with the run because, first of all, it's worked. It's worked against Kansas City. Second of all, it's who they are offensively. They're not asking Joe Flacco to throw the ball downfield, although with Cortland Sutton, they do have at least a hint of a downfield passing game. But they're going to line up Freeman and Lindsay and run it behind an offensive line that has been good at some points and not as good at others, and probably try to replicate the very game plan that largely the Colts and the Texans ran, and at least as it relates to their running game.
Yeah, and even the Lions. It'd be lunacy to not do that. It'd just absolutely be crazy not to. As effective as the run has been, when you've got guys that are, you know, approaching 150 yards rushing against the Chiefs, you know you're going to have a 100-yard rusher. And you're right. That's working for them. That's probably their strength to take into any game. When you take and you put their strength against our weakness, it is a concern. I mean, how can it not be? And there's just a piece of you that says, I don't know what Steve Spagnuolo is going to dial up here, but I can guarantee you one of the things that they're talking about in those defensive meeting rooms is this is about being tough. This isn't about scheme. This isn't about, you know, this is about when you've got your arms around somebody, and I won't mention any names, but when you've got your arms around somebody, not letting go, you know, make them drag you down the field if you have to, whatever it takes. But, there were a number of just absolutely blown tackles where we should have had a guy stopped in the backfield or for a short gain, and, you know, they busted it open on us. And it started with Marlon Mack all the way back, you know, in Detroit, and I just think it's continued. And boy, if they think those – neither one of those – I would say the Lions to some degree. Kerryon Johnson is certainly a running team, but Deshaun hasn't – of late has not been running the football. You know, I mean, Carlos Hyde is a good back, and they've used him well. But, you know, man, Fuller – I mean, I think lit it up for 200 yards the week prior in Atlanta with the Texans, and he honestly had a bad day at Arrowhead. I think if
he had been on the money, dropped three touchdowns or something, didn't he?
Yeah. The score would have been a lot different had Fuller been catching those footballs. I will say, you know, DeMarcus Robinson dropped one in the end zone, too. That would have helped.
Yeah.
There's any number of things that would have helped the Chiefs win against the Texans. And I guess, guys, as a Chiefs fan, the one thing you can take out of this is that your team is still competitive. I mean, they have the opportunity. If they get rid of these penalties, they don't fumble at halftime. There's any number of things that could have taken that game and made it a victory. So that's better than being completely out of it.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, Chiefs and the Broncos coming up on a short week on Thursday. You can hear that game on 98.7 and 1330, our sister station KNSS, on air at 6, kick at 7:20. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the answer to defending the Chiefs' track team wide receiving core is man-to-man. I would think it would scare a defensive coordinator to death, but apparently that's the way to do it. The Lions did it, and now the Colts and the Texans have followed suit, and the Colts were a 70% zone defensive team, and yet they manned them up, and it seemed to work. Can you thumbnail sketch why it works?
I think one of the things that you have to throw into the man-to-man, because I don't think it's purely man-to-man that's working, man-to-man tends to break down over time with speed. So the defense against man-to-man being speed is true, but it takes 2.5 to 4 seconds for that speed to actually get you the separation that
that's
you
true.
Need against man-to-man.
Yep.
So the trick to man-to-man is being able to cave in enough pressure while you're playing man-to-man to prevent Mahomes from turning that into a 4 or 5 second play. And that's where teams have been too successful. You cannot get to our quarterback when you're only sending three guys. If you're only going to put three, you know, in pressure on the quarterback and you're going to get to him, you're going to have eight guys back there playing man-to-man. You're going to win that football game. And so I feel like from our standpoint, one of the areas they have play man-to-man, that's fine. But our offensive line has to be able to keep three or four guys, the rush from three or four guys out of Mahomes' face for at least 3 or 4 seconds. If they do that, I don't think man-to-man will be effective enough to beat Mahomes. Right now what's happening is they play really physical at the line, so they kind of disrupt the receivers. That buys them a second. Then they play man-to-man for another second, second and a half, and by then Mahomes can't do anything with the football because he's got people on him. That's where I think this is really breaking down. It's not purely the secondary playing man-to-man. So from the offensive line standpoint, that's where I think missing Eric Fisher is a big deal. The rest of these guys, they got to figure it out. And if that means we leave now with Tyreek Hill in, that means we leave a tight end, bring in an extra tight end for coverage, a back for coverage, whatever it is, get an extra blocker in there, buy Mahomes some time. I think you saw last week in the first half especially, we ran a lot more screens. We moved Mahomes out of the pocket. And even though he's slow with his bum ankle, I don't think he throws as well with that ankle on the run as he normally would. And I don't think he's as fast at scrambling as he normally is with that angle. But I think if he can go out there and buy an extra second of time, I think he can start to compete against man-to-man.
All right, Dan, we'll be listening Thursday night. Get back on the beam with the win against Denver, huh?
I hope so. Back in the fast lane, right?
Sounds good. Thank you, Dan.
Yep, you got it, buddy. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network. Want to remind you, during the month of October, we encourage you to take part in Presence in a Package, where our community helps Kansas men and women serving in the military during the holidays. Volunteers will drop off items at Mel Hamilton Ford, 119th and West Kellogg, or NCRI at 8447 East 35th North. Here's how you can help. Go to kfhradio.com, go to KFH Radio's Facebook page, and find out more information on how you can help hook up our men and women serving in the military before Christmas. For a list of items and much, much more, go to kfhradio.com. It's Presents in a Package, brought to you by Mel Hamilton Ford, NCRI, Volunteer Kansas, and Sports Radio KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.